Welcome to East Meets West, episode 308. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And we're shaking things up, doing a little Friday evening recording, Roger.
Yes, which is a little different from us, but seeing as most people probably don't listen until a month later,
Seeing as how most people probably don't listen.
Most, I can say a majority of people do not listen.
Of people alive don't listen. That's true.
And for people who are dead, well, that's a given.
They probably don't. Those people really don't listen. Let me tell you. Actually, the spirits of our ancestors are always listening, Roger.
How do you know? Do you have any empirical proof?
Because the shamans always tell me that.
Shamans? Aren't you not supposed to squeeze the shaman?
Don't squeeze the shaman. I hope that's a sign in some Wiccan's temple somewhere.
Don't squeeze the shaman.
I don't even know. Are shamans Wiccan? Am I?
No. I don't think so. I think they have their own, not verbology, their own nomenclature.
What are the shamans? Are they druids? What are they?
Shamans.
Native American?
I guess shamans are always... Oh, wait, hold on. Shamanism is a practice, blah, 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 blah. Cultural, don't care, regional variations.
Just want to know what religion they're in, okay? So I know who to offend.
I don't know. It's all over the place. Mostly in the East, but also in European mythology.
Mm. All right. So it could be lots of places. Maybe we should start marketing these as T-shirts.
Don't squeeze the shaman.
What do you think? We could sell them at cons.
Why not?
Because that's how people get rich, selling T-shirts at cons.
Is it? I thought that's how people eked out a living post whatever else they did for a living. Are you going to WonderCon?
No, I know. And it's right in my... Well, it's not in my backyard. It's in Anaheim, which is actually kind of far. But it's
like an hour?
Not unobtainable. An hour, depending on traffic. Could be more.
Wow. That's like if they had it in San Jose instead of just not having it in San Francisco, which kind of annoys me.
I thought about going, but I actually am taking part in International Tabletop Day tomorrow instead.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Going to head over and play a little... what am I playing? I can't remember what I'm playing. I'd never played it before. It's something about smashing. Smash Up. It's a card game, shuffle card game.
Oh, nice. Where are you playing it at?
Oh, at the live streaming studio for Geek and Sundry.
Nice.
They're going to do a big live stream. Obviously, Will Wheaton, because he does the whole tabletop show, will be there. It should be fun. Going over there in the afternoon.
Nice.
So, no WonderCon. I could have gone today, but I had work to do today. And it's just fitting in an hour round trip or 2 hour round trip drive at the minimum just to go to WonderCon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty steep.
Kind of tough. I had a blind box accident yesterday, Roger.
What did you open?
For those who don't know, a blind box is a toy box usually where you don't know what you're going to get. You buy it blind.
There's no description on the box.
There's usually a print of all of the things that you could get in the series, maybe with a couple mystery ones that they hide. But I bought the Futurama blind box.
Oh, nice. What'd you get?
I had bought it once before.
What was the accident?
Well, I bought it once before and I got Mom of Mom's Robots, which I was like, okay, that's all right. Not in my top 50%, but maybe right at 50%. Like, Mom's cool. I'm cool with Mom. So I was over at Dream World Comics yesterday with my friends, the Spagnuolos, who were in town. They were very excited to go check out that store, which is a great comic book store. If you're ever on the west side of Los Angeles, it's right there at Sentinella in Washington. Definitely check it out. It's in an old gas station. So they just roll up the garage doors.
I rolled by that right
after.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome. Good store. Anyway, so they had one Futurama blind box left. The guy's like, yeah, I'll be reordering. He's like, I can't keep them in stock. You know, people keep buying them. I'm like, all right. Got Mom again.
Ah.
I've only bought two of these things. The chances are actually 1 in 12 because there are 12 characters but in the series. But, wow, really? Do they overproduce Mom, though? Is it really 1 in 12? Or they're like...
Well, you won't know.
Yeah.
Really.
Are they all moms? And then
maybe
like,
they might be.
One Fry, one Leela, one Bender.
Yeah, you know, I thought about buying more toys, but I was like, I don't have any space left. I'm kind of running out of space for my comics.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy another long box. I already got 8 of those things, and I got another 5 or 6 short box. It's just like way too many.
I'm one of those awful people who really only buys trades now, and everything else I buy on Comixology digital.
We can't read it off screen. For me, long like it just it hurts my.
It hurts your eyes. Yeah, I can. I can read. I can read Walking Dead just fine.
I mean, and I into kind of. I'm not. It's not like I immediately go blind. It's just that
right,
the way
right.
I read comics, I read like I have a box. At my comic book store over here, Comic Book Outpost. And I go every month to collect, and it's usually about, like, you know, 20 issues, and I read them all through. I try to do it in a single night. So I'm sure if I had Comixology, I could probably get it more frequently. But I don't know. It's just...
Well, you lose the visceral, like, interaction with the art. You lose the holding the comic in your hand. You also lose the, like, crumpling things by mistake and going, oh, man.
That doesn't bother me as much. Really, I think part of it is that the way comic books are designed are still designed for physical printed book. And so the layout for me is kind of – this is the other thing that bothers me, but it's more of a personal preference. It's just, you know, having it on the screen that way is just – You gotta scroll through it up and down and all.
Oh, but you don't with Comixology because they have their guided motion thing. Have you tried that?
No, but I already don't like that.
It's awesome. I'm not going to say it's better than reading a physical comic book, but it is definitely better
than reading a PDF
that you have to scroll around on.
I am not going to change my ways at this stage of my life.
What's that?
I said, damn it, I'm old.
I'm not trying to convince you it's better than buying the physical issues, because there's something to that. I get that. But as far as like trying to read a flat image that you have to scroll up and down, forget it. If you're going to do that, get a Comixology and do the guided motion, because what it does is it goes frame by frame. So you're never getting teased ahead. You never accidentally see the next thing, and it's the smooth motion as it goes from one frame to the next. It's almost like a stop motion video.
Yeah, but part of it is also, I mean, it's just when you write out or draw out a comic, especially in certain authors or writers and artists, the way they lay out the panels means a lot, and because
yes, and that's what I'm trying to tell you is that because it's guided motion. They actually do that. They actually do zoom in on a character for the dialogue and then zoom out to show the panorama. I mean, it's honestly probably what your eyes would do anyway, just guided.
I'm skeptical of your magic.
I understand, and again, I'm not trying to say it's better than looking at the page in your hands. But you don't get the same experience of looking at the page in your hands on an iPad screen with a PDF version of something. And so you might as well just like abandon that and go to this. It's an entirely different experience, but it's awesome. It is some awe.
All right.
It's mostly awe. All right.
I
think it's almost.
Almost awesome.
Yeah. Or it's full of awe. It's awe full. That doesn't work. Can't use it that way.
No, it doesn't. What else has been happening? Work for me. Just a lot of
That's all
crap.
You ever do.
I know. That and I'm planning stuff, you know, for you know what.
Oh, for your secret.
So there's a lot of that taking up my time.
Roger's
and
got
I've been
secrets. Roger's reached that point in his life where he's keeping things secret that they really don't need to be kept secret. But it's not
I bad. Must until it's done.
Yeah, okay, fine. No, it's your call. It's your thing. It's your secret.
Jeez, thanks, Dad.
I don't know what to tell you, Roger. I mean, once you throw a secret like that down, now everybody in the audience is like, come on, just tell us. But don't make Roger tell you. It's
and I
okay.
Won't tell you because not enough listeners would comment on the site.
Oh, yeah. No, apologies for that, by the way. A lot of you probably didn't get the episode until like right before this episode posted. I noticed right before we were recording today that I didn't hyperlink the link to the episode. So it probably didn't download in most podcaster apps out there, which is why we didn't get any comments, I have a feeling. Some people would have gone to the site and they would have been able to play it. And I doubt anyone would do this, but you could have copied and pasted the URL and gotten the MP3 player that way. That was my... God, I just screwed up. Not only did I screw up the recording last time, but then I didn't even hyperlink the link.
Just accept the fact that with age, you're just not as adept at, you know, manipulating those keys and operating those windows. I don't know.
Am I starting to dodder? Is that what you're saying?
I was having this conversation with Anthony Carboni and Patrick Norton as we were going to get lunch. And you know, it's funny, like, how do you, you know, as we get older, both of us, you know, I suddenly realized that, you know, I'm kind of passing out of my 30s and I'm really starting to think, like, you know, it's not that much farther along than when I was out of college. And I'm starting to think, like, yeah, you know, retirement and all that other stuff. And, you know, the logical extension from that is like, oh, when I get really old, you know, will I have kids? Will they take care of me? Do I need to set myself up?
Where should I die?
I mean, seriously. I mean, I maybe am a little odd because I get panic attacks about stuff like that.
Really? Just no, that's actually not odd. I know a lot of people like that.
Just like, there was a movie about a couple of years ago. I'm trying to remember the actor in it. He was the one that played Capote in the movie about Truman Capote. In any case, the movie is about him and his sister as 40-something adults having to place their father in some sort of aged care and, you know, all the things that, you know, that come along with it, especially, you know, when you don't really kind of appreciate it until it starts happening, because, you know, you always think of your parents as those, you know, adults that will take care of you or, you know, in some relation to you, look over you. But, you know, when the tables turned a little bit, you know, in some ways it gets a little frightening because it's a new experience.
It's the curse of the arrow of time. Because we always underestimate isn't even the right word, but we always misapprehend what it is that older people are going through when they say they're going through it. And one like really minor example of this I can think of is when I was a kid and my grandma Roxy, she was probably in her 80s, early 80s at the time. And I was like, I don't know, 10, let's say. We're in the mall and we're going down the stairs and I'm just walking down the stairs. I'm not running. And I'm like, come on, Grandma, hurry up. She's like, I'm old. It takes me longer. And I'm just thinking, I'm a polite young man, so I don't say this, but I remember thinking, well, you just move faster. You're moving so slow. Like, don't move so slow.
You know, I because of my gout, my left ankle is a little stiff in the morning. And thankfully, because of my medication, the uric acid levels are low.
You are becoming an old man.
But see, that's the thing. There are all these things that kind of come with aging, and it's not just the physical. It's not like,
That's the thing with my grandma. She didn't have anything in particular wrong with her that made her slow. She's just old. You move slower. Your bones aren't as, you know, they're more brittle. Your muscles aren't as elastic. You get weaker over time. And I understand that now in my 40s. Not 100%, but I have enough insight into like, oh yeah, I can tell I don't move as fast. I totally know when I'm in, if I make it to my 80s, that I'm going to be slow, you know, and you're not moving slow on purpose. It's as fast as you can go, but a kid doesn't understand that. And so that's kind of my wider point is like when you're even in your 40s and you're putting your parents into the nursing home or whatever, you just don't understand. That's the part I do understand, is I just don't understand what they are really going through, what it's really like to be them.
And the other thing, and Patrick and I were talking about this because, you know, comparatively, Anthony Carboni is like a baby to us. it's like as you reach a certain age, you become a little less marketable in terms of employment. And that's kind of the one of the thing that it's one of the things I really haven't thought about. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, I just go from job to job to job. But I realize, especially in our, at least in my industry.
It depends on the industry, yeah.
There's a premium based on people who work long hours for low pay, and that typically comes with younger people, especially ones who don't have things like house payments or family.
See, and it really does depend on the industry. And I think that our industry isn't alone in that. There are probably a lot like that. But I am astonished by the ability of my father-in-law to continue to get really good jobs. It's gotten to the point where he's like, you know, I just don't want to travel. But if he was willing to go to like Washington State or Texas for long periods of time, he could still be working really good jobs because he is an AutoCAD engineer and he does design. And it's a skill that, you know, once you know it, you know it. So even as he gets older, he's still good at it. And he's in demand because there just aren't that many people who are good at it.
Oh, by the way, for people listening, the movie I was referring to is called The Savages. It stars Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I couldn't remember it either. Yeah.
And Laura Linney. And basically, the short synopsis is a sister and brother face the realities of familial responsibility as they begin to care for their ailing father. And of course, they're in their late 30s, early 40s. So it resonates a little with me because my parents are also...
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a couple friends of mine who just had a baby, I don't know, about a year ago. About how we've kind of wrecked the model for how we raise children, and that's why it's so hard for parents. And all the young parents I've talked to, all of my friends who've had babies, and I know Patrick's the same way, just like they talk about just how freaking hard it is and how tired you get trying, especially in that first year, right?
Yep.
And it shouldn't be like that. And my theory is, and I bounce this off them, I'm like, I don't have any children, so you tell me like if you think this is right, but the tribal nature of humans is such that you're supposed to be in a group, and the group should be sharing the responsibility for the children, so that, yeah, they're your children, and you're mainly responsible for them, but there's always someone else to watch them. And they said, yeah, when we have like our parents over or a group of people over, it is so much easier because if the child is not right in front of you, you know that there's like a half a dozen other adults who will be keeping an eye on them, so you don't
yep.
worry. When you're at home and it's just the three of you, you're always, you know, gotta pay attention.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, I think there's really something to that. And so what we're talking about here with the savages and caring for old people, I think it's the opposite end, which is there should also be that group caring for the elderly as well. And we don't have that.
Well, I mean, this is a very monumental aspect of human society that I don't think we have reached ever. I mean, the mere fact that, you know, today's for the past 30 years, birth rates have been declining, so people have fewer kids or no kids at all. But traditionally, especially with the advent of agriculture, families were relatively large, one to take care of the agriculture, but it also meant there were a lot of extra hands floating around, as well as, you know, as those children got old and became adults, they often didn't move very far away. And so you would always be surrounded with relatives who could pitch in, help out. And, you know, without that aspect, yeah, you know, doing it by yourself or with someone else is an incredibly tasking, demanding job. And, you know, some people are fortunate to have, you know, grandparents or that they live very close by. But the nature of work today also means a lot of people need to move out of their hometowns where, you know, a majority of their family lives in order to find, you know, gainful employment. And so that throws yet another wrench in that kind of social dynamic.
Yeah, and maybe agriculture is the cause of that. There's, you know, there's a lot of benefits of agriculture, but one of the downsides is despotism, government bureaucracy. I mean, those are pretty well covered areas, and maybe agriculture also began this division into families, you know, and like you're saying, in the early times, it's still the group model still worked, But over time, we've kind of taken it too far.
Well, one thing I've noticed, especially in my area, like both at work and where I live, there are a lot of parents with strollers and their, you know, infants and toddlers. But I also know during the work week, you know, when I leave a little late or I have a doctor's appointment so I don't go into work in the morning, I notice a lot of nannies, you know, pushing the babies around. And
how
I've
do
noticed,
you know they're nannies, Roger?
Well, it's pretty obvious when the person pushing the stroller is either Filipino or Hispanic.
Adopted. Could be adopted.
Could be. But when they're also talking on the phone.
Maybe the dad's white.
Well, unless the dad was marrying a mother who was in her 50s and she came out with a white
kid. All right. I'm just giving you a good
It's, you know, it's... I have a feeling that the people who will be able to afford and have... You know, not just, you know, kids, but, you know, a good healthy set of kids that they don't stress over will be people who are well off, who can afford those aids, those, you know, those baby rearing, child rearing kinds of things.
That makes logical sense. But when has economy or economics ever really prevented childbirth?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that people won't have kids. I'm saying that their kids will be well off. They'll have that
advantage. I see what you're saying. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it wouldn't stop anyone from having children, but it will create a divide. But I guess that's just obvious though. If you're in a wealthier family, you're going to have a better leg up.
But I mean, it's so difficult when I think about it. I kind of freak myself out. It's like, who am I going to get? It's like, you know, fortunately, my parents live close, so if that ever came around.
Not that close.
I know. So they would have to move in. My dad would have to sell the restaurant. So many things would have to transpire.
Yeah.
Or I could join a church group and convert.
See, and that's a real good reason. I mean, and I think this is a secret that people don't like to discuss because it might imply that they don't have faith, but a lot of people are members of churches because of the community aspect, because it gives them that group support. And that's not a bad thing. And it doesn't mean you don't have faith. It's just, it is definitely an aspect of it. And there may be some people who don't really have faith that take part in that. I think what is unfortunate is that if you aren't a believer in a particular religion, there aren't a lot of other options for support groups in the United States. Anyway, they're all religious based.
There are some that you can belong to that are based around, especially if you're very very savvy to the online world of motherhood.
Well, I'm not talking about support groups like people like trading opinions and mommy groups and stuff like that. I'm talking about like feeling like you're a member of a real solid community.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. But you know, it's difficult. I mean, it's one of those things, and that I firmly believe, even though I don't believe in any particular religion, that religion does have an aspect in human society. If not just for the community, what you were alluding to, the community aspect, that sense of shared fate and responsibility.
Well, and it helps dealing with uncertainty. That's the
yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you have other people to rely on. It's the whole lean on me bit. And, you know, some people do it with very large families. I know people who come from very large families. Yeah, they complain about like having so many brothers and sisters. But I notice when something happens, like for instance, a family member is suddenly ill or gets in a car accident, there's a lot of people that can suddenly pitch in. It's like, oh, it's my time of the week to go to the house, you know, and check up on things, water the plants, you know, feed the cat or whatever. And you don't get that kind of security with a nuclear-sized family. And that's not to say that one is better or the other, but these are the realities, and it's, you know, one of the changes society or groups of people need to make in order to kind of cope with that. Because, you know, people are living longer, but, you know, as people live longer, illnesses can stretch out even further. And, you know, there's all sorts of afflictions that didn't happen 50 years ago because people, you know, rarely saw the other side of 65. It's weird. I mean, there's so many things happening, both on the young scale and the old scale. And, you know, people in the between, which is most of us, are all kind of looking around and are like, you know, we want to help out those people, but we're also deathly afraid of what's going to happen to us when it's our turn.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you, that's another aspect of it for sure. Before we finish up, I wanted to inject a little bit of Doctor Who. I know Derek, ooh, among many, likes it when we just kind of like talk about Doctor Who because it's one of our things. Are you excited about the return of the season and the beginning of Clara as a proper companion?
I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to see it come back, and I do want to see it, but I'm not sure if excited is the right word for how I feel. I like Matt Smith. At the same time, I don't think all the episodes. I think a percentage of them that I really enjoyed to the ones that I thought were okay was a lot less than in previous series. And I'm wondering if I'm not sure if that's because of who plays the Doctor or the fact that Russell Davies is no longer in charge and Steve Moffat is. So
I've been getting excited. I actually went back and I watched both the Christmas special that has. What's her name now? I'm blanking on Clara's name, the actual actor's name. Jenna Louise Coleman has her in the Christmas special, but I also went back and watched the season premiere, which has Amy and Rory, but also has Clara, actually has Oswin Oswald in it. And I have to say, she is great. I don't know if it's just the way they're writing her or how she's
definitely good.
She's so good. And I love me Amy Pond. Don't get me wrong. Not saying a darn bad word about Amy Pond. But I'm really excited for Clara. I think more than I have been about any of the companions in this, you know, post Chris Eccleston era.
I'm
saying it's the companion. Because I kind of agree with you about Matt Smith. Love him. Still like David Tennant more. He's good enough. And there's some great things about him. Don't get me wrong. But he definitely is not. He's not the reason that I'm excited about coming back.
I'll have to wait and see. Usually it's the first two episodes that set the tone. I always feel like Christmas specials and that kind of in-between series or restart of the series are always kind of holds over, so they always put a little more emphasis to kind of bridge it. So I've absolute faith in Jenna Louise Coleman to do the job. I'm more concerned about the stories that will come out.
Did you see the little teaser video they put up on the BBC website?
No, I have not.
It's like a short. It's not it's not even 5 minutes, I don't think. Maybe six. And it's the Doctor sitting on a park bench talking to a little girl.
Oh, nice.
And it's just talking about how he's looking for someone, blah, 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 blah. Not really anything spoilery in there.
Is this the the Bells of St. John? The Bells of St. John?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's the Bells of St. John prequel, I think is what maybe they call it.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you're cool, I would like to. I'm not. We're going to turn East Meets West into a Doctor Who only podcast. We are still going to talk about North Korea and amateur sociology observations and Roger's fear of
getting old.
But I don't know about you, Roger. I wouldn't mind throwing in a little Doctor Who commentary.
Sure. As soon as the series wraps up, and you know, I can watch it somehow.
Oh, do you not get BBC America in your house?
Not anymore. I do not.
Oh, how'd that happen?
Well, they used to offer it for free as part of my package, but then I think they grouped it into, like, it used to be on a higher tier channel.
And they
yanked it off like a year ago.
Well, so we won't be able to talk about it every week because you won't be watching it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
You could purchase it on iTunes. I did that a couple times when my DVR messed up.
I wish there was another store. I wonder if I can buy it off Amazon.
Actually, you might be able to get it on Amazon Instant as well.
Okay, because I'm not a big.
No, you know, I shouldn't just default to iTunes either because I'm pretty sure Amazon has it as well.
Cool. I can't.
And then
wait.
We'll expense it to the East Meets West Fund.
Oh wait, I thought those 75 cents were for like a Twix bar or something.
Yeah, you're right. We did buy that Twix bar, so it may be depleted. I'll have to check in on our finances. Well, anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We are always stunned that you do, and we appreciate it. And I will put the hyperlink in this week at somebrilliant.com/EMW. So you'll have something that you will have listened to in your podcast listener of choice, and then you can go and comment there if you wish.
Cool.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.